You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is going to be a good broadcast, I think. And, you know, I was looking at the calendar. This May the 4th, we will have been on the air for 8 years. 8 years. Thousands of broadcasts. I don't even... I lost track years ago. And we're going to have a guest tonight. He's going to call in around 10 after the hour. He is one of the people responsible for the fact that there even is a broadcast called The Hour of the Time with this crazy guy that the president has branded the most dangerous radio host in America, William Cooper. And we're going to be talking about the beginnings of this broadcast. Then we're going to talk about what we're doing now. And then we're going to talk about where it's going. And so, Rick Martin, I tried to get a hold of you by phone today, and you were unavailable. Rick Martin, if you're listening, I want you to call in when our first guest finishes his guest appearance, so to speak. So, Rick Martin, if you're out there listening, Rick, calling Rick, if you're out there listening, I tried to get hold of you by phone. We're going to have a guest. He's going to call in at 10 minutes after the hour. He's one of the people responsible for this broadcast ever even being in existence. And when he finishes and hangs up the phone, Rick Martin, I want you to call in, okay? It's very important. If you don't, then I'll carry on. But I want you to call in, Rick, and I want to try to finish up the broadcast with you. And... For the future of where we're going. And we've got some fantastic news for everybody. I think you're going to find this program fun. I think you're going to find it informative, educational, and enlightening, to say the least. So sit back, get comfortable, and be prepared, folks, for an evening of reminiscing, an evening of sort of educating you on what we're doing now, especially with the internet, and how you can take part in this. And then, if Rick calls in, and I hope that he does, we're going to talk about the future of the Hour of the Time and some other things that you haven't even dreamed of yet, but we have, that we're going to do. That really, basically, is going to shock the world. It'll probably knock Bill Clinton right out of his chair. He'll probably just fall right over backwards, right out those glass doors you see behind his desk in the Oval Office, and he'll go tumbling, rolling out into to the Rose Garden. And I can't wait to tell you the truth. I've been bursting for months to tell you this, because I've known about it for months. And if Rick calls in tonight, we'll tell you. If he doesn't, then I'll get hold of him tomorrow. And we'll arrange for him to be on the Hour of the Time Monday night. But I really do hope he calls in tonight. Because I'd like to do all this together, because it just all fits from the beginning to the end. I mean, there's a rope here that I really would like to keep in one piece and not have to cut it. I think that's I think that's kind of important in a way, that there's a continuity in what we're going to talk about tonight, from the beginning into the future, right through the present. And you've all heard me talk about our guest who's going to be on tonight. I've, for years, I've given three people, basically, the credit for the hour of the time. You see, it really wasn't my fault. I wanted to do it, and I actually did it. But without the help of these three people, it could never have been a reality because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have a clue, folks. And they educated me. They taught me literally everything I know about radio, and that's Alan Weiner, who owns WBCQ, who back at that time was one of the most famous radio pirate broadcasters in the world. Johnny Lightning, whom some of you listen to on WBCQ every Sunday night. He has his own broadcast. Radio New York International, I think he calls it. He's always called it that. I'm not sure if he still calls it that or not. But he did in the early days when, I say the early days, 1992. Sounds like I'm talking about 1763 or something. It was 8 years ago. To me, that's the early days. That's when I didn't have a clue, didn't know what I was doing. And if you listen to some of those broadcasts, you'll hear I didn't even know how to talk. It was a lot of fun to learn. So it was Alan Weiner, Johnny Lightning, and tonight's guest. And we're going to get to him, in about 4 minutes.
Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. So come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. So come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose. So come on, hey, hey, come on. Cruising after all of the years. Come on, let's cruise, you got
Good evening, Scott Becker.
Good evening, William Cooper. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing fine. You know, this is sort of a landmark broadcast. You're the beginning of it all.
Well, it wouldn't have happened without you, I can promise you that. And by the way, I love that song. You did that in one of your musical shows. I love that song.
Yep, well, it's... I'm still here after all these years. It's, and I'm still, you know, cruising in front of this microphone, and I thought it was kind of appropriate with the subject of tonight's broadcast.
I couldn't agree with you more.
And for those of you listening who don't have a clue, because maybe you weren't here in the beginning, I know a lot of the listeners were here right from the very beginning and are still out there listening, and many of you weren't. So let me introduce you to Scott Becker, who way back then earned it, and he owned it, Becker Satellite Network, and it was on SpaceNet, 7?
It was on SpaceNet 2.
SpaceNet 2.
Transponder 7. We were on SpaceNet 2, Transponder 7. We were on, WestSat 5, back in the old days, that satellite doesn't even exist. I don't think SpaceTech 2 doesn't even exist. We're outliving the C-band satellites there, William.
Boy, aren't we. But I remember it was way down low on the horizon, but people were able to get it, unless they were behind a mountain peak or something like that. And I've forgotten after all these years. I think it was Gary Bourgeois who hooked me up with you, but I'm not sure about that. How do you remember how we got hooked up together? I remember I was looking for a way to have a radio show, and I didn't have a clue, and somebody hooked me up with you, and that's how it all got started.
I don't know who it was, to be perfectly honest with you. I think Gary was one of your biggest fans when we put you on the network. He was already up there with Saturday or Friday Night Live, I believe. He was on the network with that. We had R&I up there. Oh, a bunch of them. World Jazz Federation with Big A out of Miami, Florida. The Cocktail Hour out of Hollywood. Noise Bizarre Radio out of Wisconsin. We had a whole bunch of guys up there. And I cannot remember who hooked us both up. That's a good question.
I can't remember either. And maybe somebody who knows will write me a letter, because I want to make sure everybody, you know, gets credit where credit is due. But I remember one thing. When I did finally get hooked up with you and we talked on the telephone, I asked you, I said, what's the point of going up on satellite if nobody's listening? And
that's exactly right. But the C-band signal, at that point in time, the satellite we were on covered all of North, South, and Central America. So just the sheer numbers of satellite, C-band satellite dishes that were out there at that time, and with the proper advertising and our good friend Gary Bourgeois had a lot to do with that, to let the people know that you were up there. That I can tell you. He really promoted your show. I remember that.
Yes, he did. But I can remember, you know, being really worried that here I was going to be spending this money, and that was a lot of money to us. We just didn't have any money. It was an awful lot of money. We're not going to, you know, talk about how much money it was or anything, but it was a lot of money to us.
It was a significant amount of money, yes, it was.
And I was worried that here I'm going to be, you know, doing this, and folks, in those days it wasn't live. I recorded the broadcast on videotape.
That's right.
And Scott told me the better quality the videotape, the better quality the broadcast would be. And on satellite, it's as good as you want to make it. It can be
right.
It can be the best that you could possibly imagine, or it could be just absolute terrible crap. And so I followed Scott's advice, and I got the best videotape, and I did the broadcast at home on videotape, and then I sent the videotape to Scott, who then put them on a satellite uplink to the satellite, and I thought I was going to be talking to Mars or something. Nobody is going to be listening. And
well, you know, the way it worked when we first went up is the studio here in Kansas, we had a telephone line feed from here to our uplink center, which happened to be in Dallas, Texas at the time. And I was taking your videotapes at first and broadcasting them over the telephone lines with Comrex encoders and decoders. So the full fidelity wasn't there, and I wasn't very happy with that. So we worked a deal out that that's why your shows had to get here about 5 days before it was going to air, because after we got the videotapes here, then I would take your show out from the videotape you sent, and I would edit the World Jazz Federation in that show and on a one specific videotape, and we'd take most of the people sent me shows either on reel-to-reel or videotape.
Uh-huh.
I would take those shows, and then I would edit them all together on a videotape. Then I would send that videotape to the uplink, and we were the, and that's right when they first went digital, and we were the very first digital alternative satellite stereo station on satellite. And so the tape, we quit feeding them from the phone line at the studio here, and I just sent the tapes directly to the uplink center. They put it in a hi-fi VCR and send it 23,500 miles up into space, or 33,000 miles up into space, and then you'd hear it back down here. And it was amazing, too, because it was real neat. I'd listen to the studio feed on a telephone live, and then I'd listen to it on the uplink, and there was a two-second delay, and that always amazed me how it traveled, you know, 66,000 miles, and there's only a 1 or 2 second delay in there. It was awesome to me.
Yeah, but, you know, realizing that it's traveling at the speed of light, and then have a 1 or 2 second delay means that it was going a long way before you heard it.
That's exactly correct.
which amazed.
Over the good old days.
Which still amazes me. 186,000 miles per second, and you're getting a 1 or 2 second delay. That just blows my mind. But then I just got thrown for a total loop. I couldn't believe it. We started getting sacks of mail. Sacks of mail from people who were listening to the hour of the time on satellite. Wasn't carried by any radio station anywhere, although any radio station that wanted to carry it could have.
Right.
It was satellite people. And I was getting stuff from England and Europe and Canada and all over the United States and South America. I got letters from Costa Rica.
We had an office in Europe about a year into your show, and then we started relaying your show. And I think it was your show and a World Jazz Federation that was aired on the Astra satellite in Europe. And that really increased your audience up there.
Wow, you see, I didn't even know about that.
That was a freebie that we were working out to see if if the people there were stable enough to get the show on right. And well, when it all was said and done, it lasted about 2 months. And I never told anybody about it because I wanted to do the test feed, and you know what, you know, then you got to beat a dead horse to death if it didn't work. So
yeah.
I kept that pretty much quiet.
Well, I certainly never would have objected, but that might account for a lot of the mail that we got from Europe, because we got an awful lot of mail from Europe. But
yeah.
We still do. We even get mail from Africa. And, you know, I can't even explain that at all. But we do.
Well, that's that big, powerful signal that my good friend Alan Weiner is putting out on WBCQ. I bet you that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, we get mail from New Zealand, Australia. Some of the places we get mail from is astounding. We got some mail from Papua New Guinea, and to tell you the truth, without a map, I can't come off the top of my head and remember where the hell that's at. But at one time in my life,
my favorite country to pronounce is Zimbabwe.
Maui, Hawaii.
We have had some. Talking about different countries and all that, I have a statistical program running on the website, and you can go there and you can see how many countries are tuning in to WBCQ.com, and they I didn't know that the Russians were allowed to even listen to us, but my goodness. goodness, we have a lot of Russian listeners via the Internet.
Good. That's wonderful.
I have to send you the log of the stats of all the countries that are listening to you on the Internet, and all the different countries on that statistical log. You'd be amazed.
That's great. You know, when we're broadcasting live, we are the top radio talk program on the Internet. The only shows that beat us are strictly music.
That's correct.
Is that still true?
That is still true. I'm not at the studio right now. I'm at home, so I can't take a look at the stats or anything. But consecutively, before you even announced it, remember we did about a 2-week test run there.
Yeah.
People were picking you up off the Internet, and you were climbing like crazy there. And the very first time that you said that there was a feed up on the Internet, you're number one in your time slot on the whole live365.com site. You are over and above even the music programs.
Wow.
And then on Shoutcast, you're consistently number 4 and 5, and the only other ones that are above you are 80s music and stuff like that.
Ever.
Those guys have been on there quite some time before we were ever on there.
Yeah, and it's all music.
Yeah, it's just music.
Yeah.
There's no talk or anything.
Yeah. I'm just blown away by all this. But, you know, the reason for this tonight is talk about the past. We've done that. And we're really up to the future now, talking about the Internet. Let's talk about the Internet. Scott, can you explain to our listening audience how to go about listening to this broadcast live on the Internet and what happens after the broadcast is over?
Well, it's the way we have the website set up now. And the website is simply WBCQ.com. You put that in your browser, you hit enter, and away it takes you to the website. There are two buttons on the website when you get there.
There's a whole bunch of buttons on the website. Why don't you tell them exactly which two buttons you're talking about? Because
As soon as you get to WBCQ.com, on the left-hand side there are 7 or 8 buttons. The very first two buttons, one says real audio feed, and the real audio player, I think that anybody that's using the Internet that has anything to do with audio, there's more than 100 million downloads of the real audio player that people have downloaded off the Internet since its inception. And so we have the first link that goes to a real audio player page. Now, what we've done there is we've made it very, very simple. You have to have the real audio player 7, which is the latest real audio player out there. And you click on the very first button on the page where it says Live Real Audio Feed. It will take you to a second page that has what we call an embedded player. You don't have to do anything. As long as you have downloaded Real Player 7, all you have to do is click on Real Player Feed, and we have an embedded player. You don't have to click on Play. You don't have to do anything. The web page comes up, and the music and your voice starts playing immediately.
Wow, that's great. You know, I've just done that on our web pages at williamcooper.net. People who go there now are hearing the radio theme song, and on the Veritas News Service, they're hearing The New World Order by Sweetwater Productions, which is an incredible education in itself into what's happening in the world. What happens if they click on the second button?
Well, the second link is the new encoder. Music encoder, which is taking pretty much the Internet by storm. You can't get through a day without hearing something about MP3 audio on the Internet or in your email or something. MP3 is the newest encoder, and an encoder is nothing more than a player that it's different than real audio. It happens to be the files are compressed a little bit more, so you can send the MP3 files via the Internet, not so much information, so it doesn't hog up the Internet and all your resources, but it has a better sound quality than the real audio player. And when you click on that, if you downloaded the real audio player, I mean the Winamp player, MP3 player, you click on the second link that says Live MP3 Feed, then your Winamp player will automatically come up, and it will start playing your show.
Now, you have links to get the real player and the Winamp player for people who don't have it. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now, Now on the Winamp player, when you click on Live MP3 feed, there will be a link right on that page that will say click here to download Winamp, which is the name of the MP3 player. And then after you download the Winamp and you install it, you just click on the link, or you can insert the IP address and port number into the Winamp player. It's much, much easier just to download the Winamp player and then click on the link where it says it right there. Click on this link, and then your Winamp player will come up, and you'll hear the streaming MP3 audio feed. And as a matter of fact, we're right now, the way it works is, at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time, Tom over at WBCQ Studios gets on a computer, and he dials dials up to the internet. Then he gets, there's a certain software that goes along with Winamp that the listeners don't have to be concerned about, but it's the server software. And then he dials into the internet, gets hooked up, and then on this streaming encoder, Tom puts in special numbers, and then he hits encode and play, and then it sends it to our server in Nevada. And our server in Nevada then takes it and relays it to another place called Live365, which don't have to be, this is more informative. You don't have to remember all this stuff in order to listen. I'm just trying to give them a rundown of how the stream actually works.
That's good. That's what we want to do.
Okay, so Tom dials up. He takes the studio feed directly off the main console board running WBCQ, like your phone call that goes into BCQ. He takes that audio and puts it directly on the internet at 8 kilobits per second. So somebody with even a 14.4 modem can listen to it. It's not the best audio quality on the internet, but what we're trying to do is give people that have very, very slow connections or live out in remote places, such as where I do and where you, well, you're not so much remote, but I'm really out there in a boondock.
Oh, yes, we are.
And I can never connect to the internet real, real fast anyhow.
Yes, we are really remote. It you have to drive 50 miles to even get near the nearest Walmart, and that's remote.
Yeah.
In this country,
ours is 38 miles to get to the nearest Walmart, and about 40 miles to go to McDonald's.
Yeah. You see, we're even more remote than you are, but we do have a McDonald's here. We only have.
We don't have that luxury in this town.
We have
a stoplight.
We have one stoplight.
Well,
which we're very proud of that stoplight, by the way. And if it wasn't for the stoplight, nobody would know how to give anybody directions to get anywhere. All directions begin at the stoplight.
There you go.
Now, you want to tell everybody what we're planning and what we're trying to put in the works here?
Yeah, I think that's great. As a matter of fact, I have a little bit of news for you that I was saving for tonight.
Oh, great. I haven't heard this, folks, so whatever he's going to say, is you're hearing it the same time I am.
Well, Bill and I, since we have been talking back and forth here in the last couple of months, we have decided that it would be a pretty neat deal to resurrect another satellite radio network.
Hi, Crusher.
And I have been working diligently in order to get some C-band satellite time. Just like the old Becker Satellite Network was, and just like your, what was the deal that you had up there, Bill?
A Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
Worldwide Freedom Radio Network,
yeah.
Right. And so we're going to resurrect the C-band deal, and I think it's not in solid stone, but it looks like we'll have some C-band satellite time at the end of this month. All I have to do is ink the deal. I've got to fly to Florida, and then I've got to go to Washington, D.C., and meet with people in Florida and in Washington, D.C., and if everything goes well and everything looks like it's going well, it looks like the radio network will be back up and in full swing in about a couple of months.
Wow.
So there you have it, Bill. We've been working on it. It looks like I almost have the deal. Just have to fly to a couple different cities to get face-to-face with them and make sure we have a long-term contract and we're not bumped anywhere. And so that's what's happening at this point in time.
Wow. Well, that truly is great news. And for all of you out there who have micro broadcasting FM stations or our radio stations or commercial stations, I don't care what kind of stations, once we're on satellite, you'll be able to carry the Hour of the Time once again just by pointing your satellite dish at whatever satellite we get on, if it goes through. And you heard Scott say he's not sure yet, but
I can give them a little hint. It looks like we'll be on Galaxy 5, which is the satellite that's dead center in the middle of the sky and the easiest one for all satellite dishes to pick up. That's a good thing.
Wow, that's incredible. That also means great audio.
Yes, it does.
For our music feed. Oh, that's great. That's really good. Well, I'm stoked. I mean, that really makes me feel good. And that's just the first step, folks. We're going to have the satellite network going again. And once we do that, we'll be on the Internet 24 hours a day, or however many hours we get on the satellite that we're... Once we do that, we'll be on the Internet 24 hours a day, or however many hours we get on the satellite that we're able to pay for. We will also be on the Internet for that period of time, all the time. And plus, we'll have we've already got 101.1 FM here in the Round Valley of Eager, Arizona. And we're going to rebuild the old network. At one time, we had over 700 affiliate micro-broadcasting FM stations across this country. And we're going to rebuild that, especially with the latest news regarding the FCC and their loss against Pastor Strawcutter and their failure to respond to Radio Free Vermont and their loss in Phoenix with the broadcast that started it all, right here on the Hour of the Time. We're the ones. Now, I'm not going to take all the credit for all the broadcasters out, because I can't, because there were a lot of people who used to call themselves pirate broadcasters, and they were getting themselves in trouble using that term. They should not have ever done it, but they were there long.
We Alan and I never deemed ourselves as a pirate radio broadcast. At least I never said I was a pirate radio broadcaster, but wrong terminology to use there in a legal sense.
Yeah, well, it's a confession that you're committing a crime, a felony, as a matter of fact. So anyway, they were there long before I ever came along. But when I came along and we did that famous radio broadcast back in 1992, where I disclosed to the world what the true fight against the FCC should be, where you can win, and that's on jurisdiction. You know, everybody up until that time was fighting on free speech and the public owns the airwaves and all of this baloney.
Yeah, that was the show that you did with William Dugan.
That's right, Bill Dugan.
Yeah.
And after that, I got on the air and I told everybody, start buying low-power FM broadcasting stations and set up your intrastate broadcasting stations, and let's build a network across, the world. And by golly, people took up the banner and just absolutely went crazy. And most...
Yep, I remember. I think you had up to about 700 of those low-power stations that were rebroadcasting you at one time.
We actually had more. We lost count at 700. My secretary, Connie Franklin, was keeping count, and we lost count when it went over 700. And I told her, don't even bother counting anymore, because, why bother counting over 700? I mean, I was just absolutely blown away that we ever reached 700. Was just the most incredible thing that I ever could imagine. And many of them are still broadcasting out there. So if we get the network back up, I'm sure that they'll be carrying all of our programming. And we will also begin again educating people on how to set up their own stations and increase the number of broadcasters, not just here, but everywhere.
And do it legally. That's the most important part.
Absolutely. We have never, ever urged anyone to ever break any law ever in our broadcasting history, and we will never do that. We know what the law is, and the federal government knows what the law is, too, and so do the governments of other countries. And they've all overstepped their bounds. The tiger has broken the lock on the cage and jumped out and is eating people. And our goal is to get them back within the bounds of the law, put them back in the cage and lock the damn door, and this time put some guards around that cage so they can't get out again.
There you go.
And that's what we've got to do. Well, you know, Scott, is there anything you want to say to the listening audience before I let you go? Because I want to try to get Rick Martin on here to talk about some other things that not even you really know about yet. So.
Yeah, I am really excited about this. You gave me a hint, but you won't tell me because you gave your word. And that's one good thing you're good at. When you say you give your word, you're not going to say nothing. And I know you're busting. I can tell by just listening to you. You want to tell everybody this new technology. And I can't wait.
Yeah, I do. And if Rick comes on and if Rick says it's okay, we're going to break the news tonight. So,
boy, that would be great. That would be really, really great. No, the only thing I would like to say is a heartfelt thanks to Alan. I hope his wife gets better. She just got out of the hospital today, and I hope she is doing a little bit better.
Yeah, and I want to.
My daughter, Squeaky, is in the other room listening to us on the shortwave broadcast, so I have to say hi to Squeaky. And everybody needs to listen to us via the Internet. If the propagation gets bad, just go to WBCQ.com, and you shall listen to the broadcast streaming in about a 15-second delay.
That's wonderful. I want to also add my good wishes for Alan Wiener's. You said wife?
Yeah, his wife Elaine. They just got married. They got married on Halloween, as a matter
of fact.
Well,
you see, he never told me that. I thought they were, you know, just. I thought that was his girlfriend.
Yeah, it was his girlfriend years and years and years. They've been together, and they finally tied the knot on Halloween.
Well, you see how he is. He didn't even tell me. But, you know, I've known that they've been together for years, and I want to extend my best wishes for a speedy recovery also.
And there's one other fellow I got to say hi to. That's my good buddy just up the road here, Chet Rudd. He's listening to us on his computer, along with probably one of his kids and his wife, and wanted to say hi to them. Also, Bill.
Yo.
We've been on the air for a long time, and... boy, I just can't wait to get the satellite network back up and running, get the low-power radio stations up and running, and maybe one day we'll touch on some television stations and how you can get those up and running as well.
Well, we're going to talk about it. Yes, that's one of the next steps, is to build low-power television stations across this country and take the power to lie to the people away from the lying, scum-sucking, puke-faced, deceiving establishment media. And
couldn't have said it better myself.
And break this pattern of lies and deception and violence and terrible programming and everything else. We are the people, and we can take the power back into our hands. I've demonstrated how this can be done over and over and over again, and we can continue it into the future, even unto bigger and better things. I got to let you go now, Scott, because I got to try to get Rick in here if he's listening, and I hope he is. And please don't anybody else call, because the phone's got to be open so that Rick Martin can call once Scott hangs up the phone. Once again,
okay,
thanks.
That's great.
Thanks, Rick.
Well, I will probably talk to you tomorrow and fill you in a little bit more about what's happening on the satellite. And good evening to you, and I can't wait. I hope Rick calls in. I'll see you later, buddy.
Okay. Thanks. Good night, Scott.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, folks, you're the phone's open now, Rick. If you're listening, please call right this moment. And if you're not listening, I'll understand because I wasn't able to get a hold of you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Is this Rick?
Yes, it is.
All right. Rick, I just want to ask your permission. Can we talk about our plans yet?
Yeah, I think so, Bill.
Okay.
We're getting close enough. We're still in the last of the dream stage, but, you know, we've been talking about this for quite some time now. I'm trying to remember when the first time I even mentioned it to you.
Well, it was over a year ago,
yeah.
Maybe 2 years ago. We've been working on this and trying to make it a reality. And we've been working with people who are developing the technology.
Right.
And we're going to do something that's just going to be astounding. And it's how long away do you think it is to becoming reality?
I'm hoping we're down to just a few months.
Just
let me explain where we are for the listeners, what's going on.
Okay. Also, could you talk just as loud as you possibly can, Rick?
Okay. I'm going to lift it as hard as I can.
That's much better.
Some months ago, this was probably around the middle of last year, I was introduced to a an internet startup that was doing some very, very interesting, had an interesting technology, an interesting way of working with technology that was something that is now pretty familiar, I think, to most folks, at least in the computer arena. And if they haven't been in the computer arena, they certainly have seen it in the newspapers. They've been reading about it. Some of the listeners that like to listen to Art Bell, too, you know, and enjoy the entertainment, as you so succinctly coined that program, are familiar with what I'm talking about, and that's streaming video with audio over the internet. And Art Bell's program has been doing that for quite a while. They were working with the broadcast.com folks and getting involved in that about the time that our technology was coming into its own.
But the most important thing is none of that technology and none of the things that any of these people have been doing even approach what we're about to do.
All right. And a lot of for the listeners that have seen that technology, you see what they have, you see the quality of what they have, and it's there, but it's quite inferior. The internet startup that I got involved with was involved with developing a process that would stream the video over the internet using low kilobit requirements. That's revolutionary. It takes a lot of bandwidth to run video clearly over the internet in the traditional way that this medium is packaged. And because it requires so much bandwidth, very few can participate in it, and certainly it's not something that can get into the average home. It's not something that can get into the average business. You've got to have all the sophisticated equipment and all these things in order to make this work. And what this startup was about, and the reason why I keep saying startup is because that's what it is. This is an idea. A brainchild of a gentleman named Greg Dimitriotis that I know, Bill, you've talked to. He had this idea some years ago and began trying to implement ways of making this thing work. It's been a struggle. It's been a challenge. It's been exciting. But it actually has come into the forefront now. And the company that's actually doing this, the name of the company is called MaxView. And MaxView is the driving, think tank behind these processes. For the listeners, just edification here, let me kind of explain what happened. I really got involved in this in the first place because of a dream. The dream that I had was to be able to see Bill's products, videos, work product, all these things, programs, whatever, to get out there live over the internet. I thought that would be a great way to get that out there, to bypass what I consider to be, I don't know, I guess you'd call it the standardized network type system where you would not need them. You could go around them and you could actually get into homes, get into businesses, get to people with this information, and be able to do it effectively using this new technology called the World Wide Web and the streaming system. This was unheard of. Bandwidth now is talked about all the time. Streaming is talked about all the time. You see it, you hear it. It's coming into its own. There are companies out there doing it, struggling to do it, trying to do it. I can honestly say that what I've seen of the MaxView system, it is the best of the best. It has the best quality reproduction of anything I've ever seen in this arena. And as a result of that, it would bring tremendous quality to the transmission, in addition to allowing us to bring 24/7, that means 24 hours a day, 7 day a week, broadcasting. And the broadcasting, as I envisioned it back a long time ago, would be in a number of different dimensions. The one dimension, of course, would be live broadcasting, and that tied in perfectly, Bill, with what you were moving into, and that was the development of the television station,
yeah.
The purchase of the equipment that was necessary to make the graphics all of the things that you've got there now, the cameras, all that was coming together, believe it or not, listeners, independently from what we were doing at MaxView at the same time, during the same time period. So a lot of these things were coming together for whatever reason, and you know, you call it divinely inspired, call it whatever you want, but you know, if it's meant to be, it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
A lot of these things were shaping and coming together at about the same time, and it appeared to be an opportunity to expand this. One of the broadcasts, Bill, you had talked about when you found your box of videos, or your, I guess it's more than a box.
Oh, it's much more than a box.
You've got all these things, and I know when we were at the conference and we shared, for the listeners, I was at the conference with Bill. We camped at Area 51. We had one heck of a great time out there together a couple, two, 3 years ago. And I observed, they were watching some videos there that Bill had produced. And, you know, the wheels started turning. I started thinking, boy, there's got to be a way to get this out there. And so things kind of developed from there.
You know, if we had $50 million, CBS would not put any video I've ever produced on the air.
I know. And that was what got my attention. This was the challenge. We're looking at information, documented information, sourced information that is so valuable to pull people from what I call stupidity, or out of stupidity and out of ignorance, into a realization of what's going on. So it certainly was the challenge. This information is not talked about. Nobody wants to deal with it. And interestingly enough, in talking about the information personally with friends, with clients, with relatives, they're interested. They really are interested. They're curious. They have little bits and pieces of things. When the website came up, it added more to the excitement. And so as all these pieces and parts began coming together, the envisioning of not only being able to stream the program itself over the Internet live, but also to have a video library. This is what I envision the goal to be. If we can do this, and I think it's within our grasp to do it, that the video library would allow the viewing audience on the Internet to be able to access at different times of the day, depending, we may have prime time, we may have off time, we may have different price ranges available here to make this affordable to everybody who has an interest and wants this information, to be able to tap into this video library, to be able to review these videos, listen to these programs. For an example, Bill has the program library, you know, the audio program library, to have a video program library that can be accessed at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by anyone in the world who wants to tap into this research and basically make the research center, you know, the Veritas News Service and the CAGI News Service, make this a reality for anybody who has a computer and the desire to want to learn.
Yeah, and for everybody's advanced knowledge, it is going to cost some unspecified sum of money. I don't know exactly what it is, but we've already dedicated ourselves to keep the price down as low as possible, and the price will be for a certain specified period of time. For instance, access to the library or to the material for a week or for a month or whatever, or for a year at a certain specified price. And the reason we have to do this is this technology, to develop it and be able to use it, costs a hell of a lot of money. To be up on satellite is going to cost us a hell of a lot of money. For Scott to be able to travel to Florida, Washington, D.C. to finalize these contracts, you all know what these things cost. And for us to be able to do this, we've got to be able to meet these costs. Plus, we have to be able to make some money to maintain our operations and pay the rent and put the food on the table and pay the electricity bills. Can you imagine the electricity bills and the phone bills that we're going to be incurring? Because all of this has to be transmitted over phone lines, long
right.
distance, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 31 days a month, or however many days there are in the month, and that's expensive. If you don't believe me, try it yourself. So
the good news is, with all the listening audience, And this is what was so incredible. When I showed Greg at MaxView, WilliamCooper.net, he went into the first thing that hit him was the 11 million hits on that website. He said, good grief. He said, that's an incredible amount of hits. I said, how long has that website been up? And we talked a little bit about that time. And Bill, you know, since the website hasn't been up as all that long, that's an incredible amount of volume coming through there. I would think for the listeners, anyone listening out there who accesses this or is concerned about freedom, concerned about this information, concerned about getting documented and sourced information into the hands of not only the American people but the world, this is an opportunity of a lifetime by sharing this information with friends and neighbors and relatives and business associates, WilliamCooper.net. It's that easy. They hit in there, they get interested, they find something they like. What I do to get their attention, I'll tell you, Bill, what I do. This is kind of funny, but the Majesty 12 document, and I tell people, go into the net. I give them the website, WilliamCooper.net, and I say, go in there and read Majesty 12. And I say, you have to do something if you're going to read this. So the first thing you have to do is you have to read through it, and you have to make an assumption that everything you're reading is documented and sourced information. Make that assumption, because as I said, if you don't make that assumption, you're going to quit reading it in the middle and think the author is a wacko.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get finished, make another assumption that everything you just read is total disinformation. Everything from square one. Some of the things that have walked into your consciousness from your own experience, make it your own. But as you begin expressing, researching, digging in, finding out, corroborating what you read, as it begins to confirm in your own experience, make it your own, and then tell somebody about it because it is your own.
Yeah.
From that point on, but not until then. And, you know, I've had an incredible amount of people challenged with that. So here was the view that I had of this. If we can get the video library up, if we can do this and make this available, if we have enough people who will participate in this, and of course, there's always that dialogue. Bill, we've had this dialogue. I know you've had it over the air tons of times. We've got this whole group of people out there who wanted to support the Patriot movement, and they say, well, we don't know what we can do. Well, here's an opportunity to do something sitting in their own living room, their own family room, their own bedroom in front of their computers. They can get into this information, they can access it, download it, share it, and talk about it, and educate, bring people out of ignorance on so many issues.
Yeah, and you know, this is a good time for me to say something I've been wanting to say for this listening audience for a long, long time. Many of you say, when you call in, I give you the website, or say, have you been to the website? You say, no, I don't have a computer. Folks, you've got to get a computer. And you've got to get on the internet. And listen to me very carefully. This is the reason why. In one day on the internet, you have access to more information, correct and true information, information that can open your eyes, information that can ensure that we can remain free, in one day than your father had in his entire lifetime. Now, that is staggering. That's amazing. And I'm sure that someday in the future, the governments of the world are going to move to control this information and take it away from us. But right now, it's free. It's there. Nobody can stop you from accessing it. And in one day, you can access more true, real, verifiable, honest information than your father could in his entire lifetime. Now, the other side of the coin is, you can also access every kind of Looney Tune, wacko, right, mental aberration, false belief, disinformation, lies, crazy things, people advocating violent pornography that you could ever imagine that your father ever dreamed existed in the universe, much less on a computer in your bedroom. And
it's
so,
absolutely incredible. I mean, to know that this system, at least up until now, and of course knowing what we know and following with it, Bill, through your your mentorship here, getting us into the research and studying these issues and digging into this. If you believe the order out of chaos, basically what's going on is we've got chaos on the internet. An order will come from that chaos, and I believe like you do, Bill. I think when the order comes, I think it'll come in a way that no one's going to like.
That's right. It'll
but
be.
But for now, we do have that chaos, and with responsibility, responsible freedom, and informed freedom, perspective, and being able to deal with it correctly, it's an incredible tool, incredible learning tool. So this is an opportunity to really expand this thing, and I like I said, I'm excited about it because it's coming. We're coming around the bend. I'll be able to share with you more information on Monday, Bill, about some of the details that we've worked out. I talked to Greg. We're gonna hook up on the conference call after we complete our discussions with you on the litigation with the CI host issues. Once we finish that, we're going to roll into that phase of the conference call, and we'll bring you up to date on what we've discovered.
Good. What did you think about what you saw today?
Absolutely incredible. Doesn't surprise me one bit.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah. I think that company's in for a big surprise.
Good. Okay, I got to let you go. We're out of time, Rick.
All right,
I want to
Bill.
Thank you so much, and I want to thank Scott and you, Rick, for being my guest tonight. I love both of you. You both have been my very close friends for many years, and I really appreciate from the very depths of my heart what you've both done to help all of our efforts to make this this country remain free.
Well, the feelings are definitely mutual, Bill. So God bless and take care, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Good night.
That's it, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. And I'm going to leave you with this, and it's going to be echoed in the Shuffle Off the Buffalo music here. You can do whatever you want to do. You can reach for the stars if you want. You can publish your own newspaper. You can have your own radio show. You can have your own radio network. You can start a corporation that can be one of the biggest in the world. You can do it. If I can do it, and I'm just an ordinary guy, folks, believe me, if I can do these things, you can probably do a lot more than I ever dreamed. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you. You're listening to 101.1 FM Eager, classic radio, like you always wished it could be. You've been listening to The Hour of the Time with yours truly, William Cooper. Stay tuned now for All Oldies, Most of the Time. If you're listening in the Round Valley of Arizona, folks, we're having our amplifier hand-built. Cost a lot of money. It's taken us a long time to find it. The only thing left that we need now is an antenna for our television station. I'm talking television here now. And pretty soon we're going to be on television with a 24-hour-a-day television network on the Internet. We are also going to be on satellite with a 24-hour-a-day satellite radio network, which will reach most of the world. And I want to thank all my friends here in the Round Valley who have helped make this possible. I want to help all of those of you who are dedicated to constitutional Republican government and the real law, not the scam that they've been foisting onto us for years. I want to thank all of you who have taken...